Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bull Scripted, and we are here after a don't call it a comeback victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. 105-103, Chicago Bulls come away with the win. I don't really know how that happened. It was pretty cool, though. Before we get into this episode, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at ontapsportsnet. Follow my dude Goose at Bull Scripted. Follow me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, so be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review, because that shit is cool and tough. Goose, it was the last preseason game. I think your prediction from, well, not your prediction, but your statement from the last episode has now come true. Billy Donovan has already tied Jim Boylan in consecutive wins in his Chicago Bulls tenure. We got to see a lot of stuff here tonight, man. So, I mean, let's just, like, open this shit up. I mean, we can break down the game. We can talk a little bit about what's to come. What are your general reactions from tonight's game here?
That was a piss-poor performance, and the guys who are about to be out of a job in the next few days played with more intensity and came up with a W at the end of this game as opposed to the starters. So we did not get the W that we needed. We did not take care of our shit tonight. First quarter was pretty solid back and forth. If Lowry hits a couple more shots, maybe the rest of the team's engaged. Lowry, at the end of the night, had a good night, but looking at the box score, he could easily had 30 points with the shots that he missed.
Yeah, that was a big thing for me tonight. I wrote down some keys, or not keys, but first quarter thoughts, and then I had stopped tweeting after that because the kid was hanging all over me. But my first quarter thoughts was Lowry looked good. He was attacking, he was rebounding, and he was hitting three. I had Wendell got cooked on D by Al Horford. Al Horford basically bitched Wendell a little bit. It was kind of tough to watch for a minute, but, you know, Al Horford's a good NBA player. He is. He's been a good NBA player. He's been a consistent NBA player his whole career. I'm not gonna overreact about it. It just, I felt that Wendell sometimes got lost on defense.
you mean Wendell getting cooked by what we hope is the 34-year-old version of himself was not promising to watch?
Maybe it's the same guy. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So Wendell was just playing on both teams. He was just hitting the shots for the other team instead.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was just the same guy. I'm not sure though. And then I put Zach. He's we know what Zach LaVine can do. We kind of talked about this last episode, but the improvement on defense is something that's really, really cool as well. He was getting in the passing lane. He had a lot of tip balls tonight. Zach LaVine looked really good. I mean, he usually looks really good. But again, to the to your point about the Chicago Bulls, you know, could have won this game more handily or been more engaged if Lowry had made a couple more shots to get the momentum really going. It just didn't seem like any of the starters were really engaged tonight. I felt like they looked a little lackadaisical. They looked a little tired. And I'm not going to overreact about that, but I mean, it's preseason. You've on a 9-month layoff. Maybe your body's just starting to get back into normal, but you have the regular season that's not going to be waiting because you're tired. You need to come out.
Yeah.
You got to come out and put your foot on throat.
If that's the trend, that's kind of scary. If we're tired after four preseason games, how tired are we going to be after December 23rd starts rolling? Granted, we have, half a week, a little over half a week before we play our first game against the Hawks, but we just talked about time off being a bad thing. So is this slightly extended layoff after a kind of rushed forced preseason going to be good or bad for the Bulls? Especially coming off that performance. Like, do you sit on that and, mull over it and sulk in it, or do you just leave it in the past? Or, like, how the hell did we approach this first game with this layoff coming up?
Well, I think Billy will have the guys ready. I did like the fact that with it being the last preseason game here tonight, I did like the fact that Billy played the starters, good amount of minutes here. No one got a break. You know what I mean? It was, you're gonna play a full game's worth of minutes. All of our starters, with the exception of Wendell Carter Jr., played over 28 minutes. Which was good to see. But I'm hoping he has them ready. But I want to talk about Lowry a little bit more, because December 21st is the deadline to get an extension done. And the 21st, is that Monday? That's Monday, correct? I think it is. So,
Yes, correct.
yeah. So, Lowry came out tonight. I know it's just a preseason game, and he could have came out and scored a fucking 100 and taken a new Wilt Chamberlain picture. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know how much it would have really affected the negotiations. But you had to believe tonight he was going to play with a little bit more fire. Now, he out of the 17 shots that he took from the field goose, 10 of them were three pointers. He sank four of those. For the people on Twitter saying that's 40%. That's all right. He's a big.
That's better than all right.
That's
That's
40 per.
considered like well above average for the
Right.
league.
I mean,
His
let's
career
hope.
average at 36% is average for volume. I feel like we do get a little overcritical about that at times.
Right. And that's why people are like, well, he only made 4 out of 10. It's like, this isn't fucking 2K, man. You're not going to shoot 50% from three. It doesn't happen like that. So I thought that he played a good game. He had a reverse layup attempt in the second that just ended up not going, where that it was coming off the block, just left of the rim there. And I really was encouraged by that. And then he had a couple good layups where he put his body into the defender's chest and made some room. I liked what I saw out of Lowry tonight. Like I said, you have to believe that he's playing for some sort of recognition, maybe to try to get this front office to agree to an extension. But I mean, I wanted you to touch on that as well before we start breaking down the second half of the game and just other things that we saw tonight in the preseason game. I mean, what the hell do you think is going to happen come Monday? I mean, do you think that this is he this this boy's going to get extended, or do you think we're going to ride off into free agency next year and he's going to be a restricted free agent? The Bulls might get screwed to match a crazy offer since no one's really going to be available.
Well, as a Bulls fan, I have to hope that a contract extension gets done because of the situation that you just laid out. Right now, Lowry's value is in question. Even tonight, with a box score that looks good, the eye test would say he left a lot on the floor to be desired. We didn't have a single rebound in the second half, though he was active defensively and on the boards in the first half. There was still a lot that was left to be desired, and that's kind of crazy to say when he led the team in points, ended up shooting 52% from the field for the night, 40% from three-point land. On most nights, we're going to take that anytime we can get it, but with the shots that were missed, there was still a lot more that could have been done. I hope the extension gets done, but I think Lowry would be a dumbass outside of fear of injury or just wanting to stay in Chicago and not trying to play that leveraging game to make it about money. I think he would be stupid to sign an extension because there is no free agents and there's a lot of fucking money out there this year.
Yeah, that's my whole thing, dude. Is I could see him getting some stupid money from like our boy Rob Wegley kept tagging the Knicks when we were talking about it. Our boy Bulls guy Rob from OnTap, he kept going, "Yep, Knicks coming in, Knicks coming
Hey,
in
they love
hot."
their power forwards, man. They got
Yep,
to collect them all,
he
so.
said like 4 years, $80 million here to come.
Oh, and that might even be generous. You're talking about stealing a guy off a rookie contract for free. So, would you rather trade first round picks to get him? No. If you could pay an extra $5 million a year and get him, and you willingly overpay to get him for free, you don't care. You're getting him for free.
Yeah, you got a point, you know, you got a point. So, that was our Lowry talk. Kobe White, bad game tonight. I'm not really too concerned about it. He did have 9 rebounds, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, he led the team in rebounds. The
Like, he went 1 for 10 from the field. It's like he did not shoot well. And it was nice to see. I know Oklahoma City's going to blow, but it was nice to see the Bulls still able to squeeze out a victory with him playing so
fuck?
poorly. He did have 2 turnovers, 3 assists tonight. He was minus 19. On the plus minus, him and Lowry actually led the team in the worst plus minus on the team tonight with minus 19 there. But yeah, I mean, you know, P. Will, Project Pat, whatever everybody's calling him, looked like a rookie tonight. Made a couple mistakes. I will say, there was the boy needs to take his time on inbound pass. Second game in a row where he almost threw the ball. Well, he did in the last game. He threw the ball away off an inbound pass. He almost did it again tonight. But he's got to be a little bit more patient there. But nothing, you know, nothing too critical. He's a rookie. He's gonna learn. Did not play too terrible. He actually broke even tonight, in the plus minus. And my guy, your guy, the guy, Chandler Hutchinson, fucking 2 3-pointers tonight. He played great off the bench. And Stacy had said, man, he's gonna play his way into the rotation right away. Well, Stacy, who's sitting? Are we not playing Thad Young? You know, like, or.
Well, and that's what's crazy to think here right now is you have Tomas Satoransky and Thad Young, who didn't see a single game of preseason. Tomas only played one game. So, what is our rotation genuinely going to look like? Does P. Will stay in the starting lineup?
You know, man, I'm gonna say yes. What about you? I'm gonna say yes. The reason I say yes is because if Billy the Kid thinks that this team is gonna be truly competitive, even though he played like shit tonight, Otto Porter off the bench with a guy like Tomas Satoransky, like I said in the last episode, is very appealing to me. It's very, very appealing to me. You have you know, a guy who can, you know, play a little bit of defense, can stretch the floor in Otto Porter Jr., you know, coming off the bench. You have a good guy, you know, a decent point guard who can create, not create great for others, but can run the, initiate the offense, get people where they need to be in Tomas Satoransky. So I like those two pieces coming off of the bench personally. So I'd like to see Patrick Williams start. I don't think that Otto Porter Jr. outplayed him in the preseason.
I could go too far into it, but I will say this. Patrick Williams starting makes more sense for the front office in terms of evaluation. You made this pick. You need to see if he can be a small forward in this league, first and foremost, so you can make a more informed decision on what you're doing with Lauri Markkanen if he makes it to this offseason. And Otto Porter's probably not going to be on this team going forward. We've seen how limited the playing time Wendell and Lowry have gotten together between alternating injuries. So I think you have to take this opportunity in what is probably the only season of evaluation and kind of figuring out what the hell this current roster holds. I think you got to throw P. Well in there and see what happens.
Yeah, that's a good point. And to get back to my Hutchinson thing real quick here, he was 4 for 11, 2 for 4 from 3-point land. He finished with 11 points tonight, 8 rebounds, 4 steals for Hutch, and an assist. That was pretty cool. I truly did love to see that. Another guy I want to talk about, we're talking about rotation a little bit. Goose, we did not see DG in the first half. And I was thinking that I thought he was out of the rotation tonight. When I saw him in the third, I was like, okay. I was like, thank God. I was like, I know he played really not great, Bob, last game. I know he couldn't hold on to the ball for some reason. He did have those two posters, but DG finally got in there in the second half, and I just think that was because they needed some sort of spark. They needed something to, you know, kind of change there. I am severely questioning right now if Daniel Gafford's going to be in the rotation come December 23rd.
I don't think that's an invalid question. We've seen Lowry play a lot of five.
Yeah.
If Thad's back, I'm sure we could see Thad playing some five. Hell, we might even see Patrick play some five. So just the amount of versatility and overall length that this team has, I don't know how much we'll see DG. We didn't see him all that much last year either. Although fortunately this year it won't be in favor of somebody like Robert Horry, I mean Luke Kornet. So
Oh, you stupid.
at least we will have a legitimate reason for why Daniel Gafford might not see rotational minutes this year.
I wonder what Luke Kornet thought about that comment.
I don't know. He probably like wrote it on his mirror and it was like, I'm gonna be Robert Horry. And it just never worked out.
Yeah. Another thing about the rotation that I sit here in question. I know we're kind of like breaking down the game in bits and pieces, and we're kind of talking about, this is the last preseason game. We're coming up to the real deal here. We're talking about the rotation. Ryan Arcidiacono. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I love the kid's hustle. I like Ryan. I think Ryan's a good dude. I think that he's a good basketball player for sure. If he's in your rotation, you're not a good team. And that's I stand firm with that. If Ryan Arcidiacono is in your rotation, you're not a good team. I think when Satoransky comes back, I think that we see less of Ryan Arcidiacono. He did finish plus 21 tonight, so it looks like anybody could throw the stats at me. You'd be like, Buzz, you're a fucking moron. Look what he did. He took a karate kick to the chest and he just kept pushing forward.
Well, Lowry led the team in plus minus last game, and I would say Lowry had a better game tonight than he did in the previous game. So you always got to take that stat with a grain of salt. Depends on who you're on the floor with, when you're on the floor.
Right.
Ryan was on the floor for the comeback. Jason Benetti called him out for dribbling the ball too much right before he stepped back and kissed himself with his little man bun bouncing around. I don't. It's hard to say I don't have a thing against Ryan because I always talk about him in such a negative connotation, but I think you hit the nail on the head. If Tomas Satoransky is available, Ryan Arcidiacono is not seeing rotational minutes with increased wing depth, especially since we haven't mentioned his name in probably two episodes. Garrett Bartholomew Temple will be back at some point, I think.
Is that his middle name?
I don't fucking know. I've just
Okay, I got
it's thrown around on Twitter, so I just pulled it out for a little
it.
shock factor.
I'm Googling it right now, and I'm gonna be like really fucking upset. Oh my God, it is.
All right. See, I wasn't lying to
It really fucking is. It's Garrett Bartholomew Temple. All right.
So when we get Bart back, which we haven't even seen him with the team, Ryan should probably fall even further down the totem pole with them.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious to see what this rotation looks like. If I had to guess, because you've heard Billy say that it's the Bartholomew thing's gonna keep getting me. It's fucking funny. My middle name is Scott. I wish it was Bartholomew. But fucking A. When I look at the rotation and what I think it's going to be, now this is gonna be barring health, right? So I'm gonna say it's gonna be like Kobe White, Tomas Satoransky, right? Because Billy Donovan wants to run a 9-man rotation. He said he will explore with doing a 10-man rotation, but he'd like to run a 9-man rotation. So Kobe White, Tomas Satoransky. Then you're gonna have Zach LaVine, and I was kind of thinking like a Garrett Temple. Honestly, I didn't know if that was going to happen or not. But I thought that might have been fair. Then you're gonna have Pat Williams and Otto Porter Jr. And then this is where it gets tricky. I thought you'd probably see a Lauri Markkanen, Thad Young, Wendell Carter Jr. front court. That's what I thought we would see. That's a 9-man rotation. So that's where I'm at to start the season. So that obviously that leaves out Chandler Hutchinson, that leaves out Ryan Arcidiacono, we all knew that Norvell Jr. would not be in the rotation. It leaves out Daniel Gafford, that leaves out Luke Kornet. We're leaving out a couple people there. Mokoka, when he returns, we didn't even get to see him. That's really upsetting to me too. I really would have liked to see him in the preseason, because I do think that that kid has some talent. But that's my rotation. What's your rotation?
Nope, we're spot on there. The only name that you didn't mention, who we also haven't seen yet, is Denzel Valentine, who got his contract extension, invested that money into his studio, and hasn't been seen since.
Like, dude, I don't get it with him. All right? I just don't. I don't get the. I would not even have fucking entertained him coming back. Like, you let Chris Dunn walk, and I know that we were, me, you, and Fred, and there's a few others, that were on Dunn Island that think that
What
Dunn's.
do you mean? What do you mean where I'm still sitting by the embers on this island going, what the fuck happened?
Oh, if you
Where'd everybody go?
if you look about 6 miles down, you'll see Denzel Valentine making a shitty rap video on some island. I don't understand. I know the Bulls need shooting. I think we got plenty of it without a fucking keeping Denzel Valentine. I don't understand that at all. But yeah, so I guess we're spot on with the rotations. Basically that's what I think it's gonna look like, and I think that that could be a competitive under Billy Donovan. That could be a competitive rotation. Now, again,
No, I mean,
I do find
thinking
myself
about it,
questioning Thad Young. I don't know about you.
I like that. I thought that was underused in Jim's system. I thought if we saw more of
I
him,
meant his health.
oh, his health?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been Mr. Consistent the last 4 or 5 years of his career, not seeing him all of preseason. I don't know how early he'll have regular rotational minutes. Maybe that'll take a little while to get worked in. But at least in terms of showing up and doing what he's supposed to do and contributing to winning basketball. That's not something that I'll ever debate with Thaddeus yet.
Well, I read it was a leg infection, so that's why I'm saying,
Okay.
yeah, that's why I was saying it was health, is because what the fuck does that mean? Is that something very serious? Is that not very serious? Like, there's not been a lot released on it besides this a leg infection. So, like I said, I don't know what that means. He could be out a long. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's something serious where we don't see him in the rotation. It's the same fucking story with the injuries, man, where you have this talent that you can't put together. And it's hard to evaluate what you're trying to do and what you're trying to, watch within the Bulls roster, and you lose these guys to injury, these freak fucking injuries. So, hopefully he's ready, because Thad Young's a guy who could do a little bit of everything, and I think that he will be better utilized in Billy Donovan's system than he obviously was with Jim Boylan. Thad could shoot the ball a bit. I think he fits that kind of free-flowing offense a lot better, now that Billy Donovan is here.
No, the crazy thing is, as I tried to cut you off and point out, is our bench, the backup four rotation players, are all of our veterans. Sato, Temple, Otto, Thad.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So, I mean, if a young team's struggling, what better way to infuse some energy in there than to get guys that know their job and what they have to do to win basketball games right immediately? I mean, you could make the counterpoint that swapping some of them into that starting lineup might be the better way to go too, so you don't get off to any bad starts. But no, we'll see what happens with that. In that situation, do you think we see Hutch or do you think we see Gafford?
Man, I think that's like a double-edged sword type question, because you can be versatile there. It depends on
Okay, so
kind of who you're
you're
playing.
thinking it's going to be situational.
Yeah.
Matchup
Yeah,
situational
I think so. I mean, damn, dude, like Hutch was playing hungry last couple games, and he's so athletic, man, and he's a good defender too. So if we want to go small ball, I think we see him. If we're, getting outsized there and we need a shot blocker at the rim. I mean, you got Daniel Gafford, so I am curious to see actually how that goes, but I think it would be more situational than a guy who's just kind of locked into. I don't think anybody on the roster besides Zach LaVine should be really locked into a position. You know what I mean? And that goes for Coby White too. I don't think that anybody should be locked into a position besides Zach, who I feel is by far the best player on the team right now. But yeah, I mean, shit, dude. I mean, we got Atlanta coming up, and Atlanta is—they got a good little squad. They spent some motherfucking money, dude. Like, the Hawks spent some money, and I wonder what they look like in the regular season. I mean, listen to this roster going up and down here. They got John Collins, a young dynamic forward. They have DeAndre Hunter. They have Clint Capella. They have Bogdan Bogdanovic. They have Trae Young. Off of their bench, Goose, they have Danilo Gallinari, Cam Reddish, Rajon Rondo, Solomon Hill, Kevin Huerter. I mean, they have a nice little young mixed with good vet team. I mean, Atlanta, I'm very curious to see how the Bulls stack up against this squad come what is that, Wednesday when the season starts for us.
Yeah, I believe in the last 2 years since Trae has been drafted, I believe he sat out maybe one of these games. But Bulls are either 5-2 or 5-3 against the Hawks in the last 2 years. So seeing the Hawks with their young core coming around, I've seen DeAndre Hunter's actually having a solid preseason, was averaging around 18 points a game. With their veteran additions and their ownership's big push on their front office to make the playoffs this year, I'm curious to see where the Bulls and the Hawks fall in comparison to each other at the end of the year, and hopefully we're at least seeing them in a play-in.
Yeah, I mean, if I had, like, when I'm looking at paper or on paper Atlanta's roster,
When I'm looking at paper.
when I'm looking at paper, I look at the roster, I'm like, damn, dude, they got a lot of talent. They got a lot of guys that can stretch the floor and create for themselves. You know, I mean, they look deadly, kind of. I mean, and not like, obviously not championship shit, but you know what I mean. They look like a team that can really go on a run at some point in the season and disrupt the seeding and within the Eastern Conference playoffs. I mean, they do. I mean, shit, if Gallinari and Rondo are coming off your bench, I'd feel super fucking comfortable with that. And then a young dynamic player in Cam Reddish who's not even fucking starting. He's a good player. Cam Reddish is a good player. You know, dude, I'm so pumped for Monday. Because I think the Bulls can be competitive, or not Monday, I'm sorry, Wednesday. Because the Bulls can be competitive, and going up against a team like this, I think that, you know, our new coach and Billy Donovan's gonna have us ready. But yeah, I could definitely see these two playing in for a play-in opportunity. Both young teams with a good mix of vet talent.
Well, and for both teams to have a season opener against a team that's equal competition is going to be a good measuring stick for both of us. And hopefully, as Bulls fans, we come out on top of that one because we do not have an easy schedule for the first 20 games.
No.
Maybe 5, 6, 7 games that you would consider like winnable.
Ooh, man, dude. I think that's fair. I'm just scrolling past the schedule, and as I look at it, I get a little nervous. Yeah, I don't want the Bulls to start off bad and in a fucking hole, you know what I'm saying? And then
Oh, because then we're blowing it up. We're
right.
going into the deadline just, he's for sale, he's for sale, what you got?
Here, Cade Cunningham, come on down. You know, but to start the season, we have the Hawks, who we just kind of raved about. We have the Pacers next. Okay, Pacers are no slouch. Then we have fucking Golden State. Then we have Russ and the Wizards, back to back with those guys. Then we see Milwaukee. So that's the first one. Two, three, four, five, six games. Our seventh game is against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Our eighth
So
game.
far I got one, the Hawks. That's winnable, should win.
The second, or I'm sorry, the eighth game is against Dame Dalla and CJ and those boys in Portland. And then we go up against your guy, De'Aaron Fox, with the Sacramento Kings.
That's two.
Then the Lakers.
So we got two games in that whole stretch there that
You feel
should be.
super confident in.
I'm not even super confident. I just feel like we'll be in those games. Like those are games that we
Okay.
could
Yeah.
and should win. I'm not writing W's on the calendar by any means. We've seen this
Yeah.
team play for 2 years, and I get it's a new coach, but it's going to take a little time. And unfortunately, the growing pains period is going to be getting our ass spanked a
Yeah.
lot to start the year. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I am fully prepared for that reality.
I just looked at the 11th and 12th game, and it's the Clippers and then the Celtics. Like, fuck you, basketball god. Like, what is that?
Jerry literally called Adam Silver and was like, "All right, we're gonna just roll over this roster because this offseason's weird. Can you just like fuck us. Just like the first half of the season, just like rail into it. Just give it to us so good that nobody wants to be here anymore, and we can just trade everybody. And then make sure you give us Cade Cunningham, because otherwise this railing is not going to be worth it.
It's like no lube, no lube, make it hurt so good so within the first fucking 8 games, the fan base is already playing with the
Tankathon.
tankathon.com. Like, fuck, dude. I'll tell you what, if they go on, like, if they finish that, like, 3-7 or something, or 4-6, I'd be fucking stoked out of those first 10 games. Stoked.
No, I
I really
mean,
would.
that's kind of the monster that we're going up against to start this year. Is it's going to be really hard to get off to a good start. Unlike last year, where we had a really easy schedule and we just sucked and it made it horrible. I mean, it will at least have the excuse of there's still hope, there's still time. We weren't supposed to win these games, unlike last year, but I don't know that it's going to feel any better.
No, I don't think it'll feel better. I think that will be. I think we understand the greater good here. Okay, I think we understand that, and I'm gonna go into this season with that mindset. That is what I have to do. It's like I'm going into this season with the mindset of, listen, it's a new day. It's a new front office. It's a new head coach with the same talent. So we really need to evaluate this year again with a real head coach instead of a dick with ears. This is where we should have been last year. I would think, but hey, here we are, and like you said, Jerry wants the first pick or something, so we're gonna get fucked up here a little bit in the first half of the season. But that's all I got for this episode, man. I don't have much left. I know we barely talked about the game, but yes, in the fourth quarter of this last preseason game, the Bulls outscored Oklahoma City by 21. The
Simi, shit on you!
Oh,
That is what happened.
no. That's very true.
Give him Cornette's spot too. We're auctioning off of this spot, and as of right now, of players that are available still on the roster, Simi sheet two. Please give him Cornette's spot.
I like it. I'd like him to get the playing time over Denzel Valentine.
Oh, damn.
I would. You know why?
They don't even play the same position. It's just
Don't care at all.
don't care at all.
Don't care at all. You know why I don't care? Because Denzel doesn't play anyway. So just fucking don't even keep him on the fucking team, please. Just see him walk off and do whatever he's got to do. But yeah, I think we did a good with the season preview. I think that and by all means, we don't mean to sound negative. I just think it is fucking funny to, like, after reading that schedule,
The fix is it.
Yeah, dude, I'm fucking terrified, bro. Oh, Lordy. Jesus, man. What a tough ass schedule. They don't have an easy game again until the 15th against the Thunder, which might not even be easy. And then they play the fucking Mavericks and then the Rockets.
The Thunder, but that's the thing is of like the 15 games that you've just rattled off, we have the Hawks, our first game, we have the Kings, and then we have OKC like 8 games after the Kings. None of that feels good. Those are like the only three that I'm like, all right, those are should be wins. The other ones, if we get a win, I'm probably going to be genuinely shocked. And yeah.
I just
So
can't
it might
wait
be.
to beat the shit out of the Knicks back to back in start of February.
Oh, so we're going to redeem ourselves. There we go.
Yeah,
That's
that's my
going to be the start of a 15 game win streak that puts us close to 500 once we get done with it.
Oh God. I pray to God Lowry keeps attacking and Wendell Carter doesn't fucking keep settling for three pointers when the season starts. I think that I hope he got that out of his system. Not that I don't think he might be able to make them in the future, but my God, if I have to watch him do that during the regular season, when he is just so much more effective. Did you see his fucking? I know we're going all over the place right now, but in the game tonight, you see his little fucking drop step hook?
Yeah.
That was dope. And then he hit a midi like 2 possessions later. That's what I want. That is what I
Well,
want.
his passing was good tonight.
Yeah, he had like six
So,
assists, I think.
no, he flirted with under 30 minutes. He flirted with a triple double. I mean, he was only 8, 6, and 6. It was a Lonzo Ball triple double, but he was he was flirting. So, need to see more defensively from him, though. That has been concerning through preseason for me, and I know we were just about to say bye, and now we're back to be more pessimistic about some shit. But
And we're back.
hey, we're back. We just told you that we're gonna get our ass kicked for the first 20 games. Do you want to hear how bad Wendell Carter's been and the only thing he's good at?
We love his defense. See game against Al Horford.
Yeah. So hopefully Wendell continues to wake up. This is not what I expect the norm to be. I got to get my shots off now. I'm trying to think of something positive to wrap this up on. But Kobe didn't have a good night. Zach was kind of average. Lowry led the team in points, and it wasn't really pretty. Shit, man.
Zach looked
Semi
good.
Shitu. There we go.
Semi-shoot.
That's what we're gonna finish with. We are streaking. It might be the only three-game win streak we enjoy for 2 months, but we got it in, and
Let me ask you this, in this limited appearances by Semi-shoot, do you think the Bulls should give him a 4-year, $32 million contract?
you know what? He did all of this without Rajon Rondo or Dwayne Wade
Yeah.
making it look better, and he did it in the clutch. Like, did you see him come in the fourth quarter
I
and just
did.
completely take over this game
He changed the course of the game.
and get the W
Yeah.
against OKC's F team, which is like the worst G League team that you could imagine? And I was mind blown.
I think we should extend him.
We need to extend him. I mean, give him Archie's job. I don't know. Cornette, we could name a few others. I mean, Felicio's the obvious one, but he's got more trade value on this team than half the roster just because his contract's inflated and expiring. Shit, here I go being pessimistic again. We should have cut this like 7 minutes ago.
I can't. It's just too funny. It's just too. I think that he is going to be a starting center one day in the NBA, and I think that this game alone proved it. So, okay, now we're done. Now, see, that was. Now we're
We are
done.
streaking. We are streaking. We have won three in a row. Let's make it four against the Hawks and at least start out the season undefeated. There we go.
100%. 100%. Everybody, be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at BullsOnTap, at OnTapSportsNet. Follow my dude Goose at BullsCrypted and follow me at BuzzOnTap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, so be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. The next time you hear from us will be Wednesday night. Wednesday night, after the Chicago Bulls open their season up against the Atlanta Hawks. Very exciting stuff, man. It was a fun preseason because we finished 3-1, and Simi Shit 2 is the new truth. We'll be back Wednesday night with the brand new episode. Let's.
We're gonna log off, and we're gonna read Semi Shitu has been released by the Chicago Bulls.
Let's go, Bulls.